All good? It's on.
This is Atlas 2 Plenary Session 2 beginning at 11 o'clock a.m. UTC plus 1.
Okay, we'll be starting in 1 minute. Could you please take your seats? And could we send someone outside to herd people back in, please? Someone from staff or any volunteers that wish to go and herd cats. Dangerous game, herding cats.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not using my parade ground voice, but I can make the volume louder, and I hope anyone who's outside of the room is coming in now. This session is about to begin. For technology reasons, for some bizarre and peculiar reason, some of the cue code reading that the volunteers were going to do to mark you in is not operating properly. So at the moment, only Carlos. Carlos, can you wave, jig, dance, come and give me a cuddle, whatever it is to make you're obviously here. He's got a piece of equipment that can mark you in, so don't mob him. But before you leave for lunch, make sure he has captured your data. That's your responsibility. Make sure he has captured your data. In a perfect world, you will find that the technology will have been mastered. And Ganella, can you stop cuddling people and make yourself known? Come and make yourself known, please. And Mercy, you're going to be here too now. So Mercy and Ganella, come into the centre. Come on, I'll make you drag you down the front in a minute. These two girls at least, and there will be other volunteers, will be the team that will be able to capture your data later. But we have to get their equipment working at this stage. Carlos, before you go to lunch, get your data captured. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And let's start the session, and people, I guess, will be coming back in as we have sent a few bloodhounds out there to go and hunt them and find them. I know it was a short break. So, I guess the recording is on. Welcome back to the second plenary session of this exciting morning. I hope it's exciting for you. We're going to be going through a small presentation of the Internet and Internet governance worldwide discussions and why it is important for end users to get involved in those worldwide discussions. The whole Net Mundial, all of the different discussions that have recently started have placed an emphasis on a multi-stakeholder model that involves the private sector, governments, civil society, and end users, and the technical community, all talking in one room, talking to each other and reaching consensus. And we're going to just go through a few of these more recent developments, which you will find, and I hope you will find helpful in the discussions that you will have this afternoon in the thematic working groups. Let's go to the first slide, please. So, the Internet. That's why we're all here. It's a technology that was developed a very long time ago, back in the 60s. It never really was something which everyone, no one ever forecasted that it was going to be 3 billion internet users. 3 billion, yes, we've reached that. Every month I have to put the number up. The technical specifications are dealt with by the Internet Engineering Task Force. They had a meeting in London just a few months ago in this very hotel, actually, and they worked to continue the Internet's technical development. It's a multi-stakeholder process, so again, it was open to everyone to participate in, and mostly technical people, I guess, and we actually have some Internet Engineering Task Force people that are among us and among some of the other delegations here in the hotel and throughout the week. It's a distributed system. It's a network of networks. There is no single owner. of the internet, and that's sometimes very difficult for people to understand. How can there be no single owner? How can it all be coordinated together? That's because we've got several organizations that deal with this in a multi-stakeholder fashion. The dynamic naming system, which is primarily the responsibility of ICANN, IANA, all of the organizations that you've heard from this morning, is a hierarchy of name servers with a central, what they call a root. It's one basic server that then is mirrored around the world for a few hundreds of times, actually, for your computer to be able to translate a domain name when you put the address in an email or on a website, translate that into a number, which is the number at which the server is located. And as some of you might know, we're running out of a certain class of number called IPv4 addresses. We're now going through this new IPv6, much longer, much bigger addresses. This whole DNS system is distributed around the world. What's important there is the multi-stakeholder aspect to it. Next slide, please. So the internet wouldn't be the internet without end users. In fact, back in the days when it was being built, there were many other networks that were around, many private networks, and slowly, due to the fact that users could all be basically proposing any type of service that they wanted to have on the net, it became this network of network with any type of traffic allowed, ideally with no filtering, so the end users have the choice of what they want, it became a champion for innovation as a result. Many, many companies, startups were created with just a handful of people, great ideas, put it on the net, and then grew from that point onwards. You can imagine a service, you can design it, you don't need to obtain a license to offer it on the net, you don't need to apply for permission from anyone to provide your service out there. And so the smallest startup ended up being very successful. Next slide, please. Nope, one back. We mentioned multi-stakeholder. That's a key part of the internet. It's been running for now 30, 40 years in this multi-stakeholder governance environment. And that's a case of having governments, businesses, civil society, the technical community, individual users, and indeed any other stakeholder not covered by the above. That might include your pet, that might include all sorts of beings, and of course we welcome people from other planets as well. That multi-stakeholder environment is open to everyone. Next, please. And that's a very interesting slide that the Internet Society had a few years ago, and I think that we've kept. It's the Internet model, and with the number of organizations and stakeholders that take part in its different processes. If we go to the next slide, we'll just focus on a couple of these. The first one is the standards. We've mentioned earlier the Internet Engineering Task Force. That's not one of the only. It's not the only organization dealing with the technical standards. They deal with the protocols for computers to talk to each other. There are other standard bodies out there, including the World Wide Web Consortium, that deals primarily with the browser compatibility. So you can use whatever browser you want, your web pages are going to display in a pretty similar fashion, whether it's on a computer or on a portable device these days. Bearing in mind the highest growth of the internet today is on portable devices. There are Internet Society affiliated organizations, and of course in there, there's also the ITU, the International Telecommunication Union. Their telecoms part is also dealing with another layer of the whole model, and that's primarily the cables and the interface faces, etc., that your computers and your devices run on. That's open standards development. These standards are not proprietary to any of the organizations in there. Next. We have multi-stakeholder policy. That's why we're here. Governments and the regional organizations, multilateral institutions, the Internet Society, and other policy discussion forums like the Internet Governance Forum all discuss policy. The big difference with ICANN is that here we don't just discuss policy. Decisions are made, and the decisions will affect the 3 billion internet users out there. This is an operational multi-stakeholder model that we are part of. And that's really where the challenge is, because as soon as you can make decisions, then things become very serious. Next. Multi-stakeholder naming is what ICANN deals with. You've seen earlier, so we've got ICANN, we've got the regional internet registries that deal with the numbers. We have IANA, as we spoke earlier, the IANA contract. We have the generic top-level domains, .com, .net, .org, and the hundreds of new generic top-level domains that are being created at this very moment. And then the country code top-level domains, .uk, .fr, .de, whatever, AU. Yeah, well, I was trying to avoid .au, but okay, .au as well, yes. Etc. All of these have policy processes which are multi-stakeholder in nature. Even country code top-level domains have their own policies, national policies, but many of them adopt multi-stakeholder bottom-up input in there as well. Next slide, please. The multi-stakeholder model in ICANN was traditionally shown as the board of directors in the center and everyone pointing to the board of directors. You will notice at-large has one seat on the board of directors, that's seat number 15, currently held by Sébastien Bachelet, whom you met earlier. The other parts of ICANN have also got seats on there, the address supporting organization, the generic name supporting organization, the country code name supporting organization, and then the nominating committee, which is chaired this year by Cheryl Langdon Orr, is supplying, is it 8 people in total of the board are being selected by the nominating committee, and I actually ask you if you are interested in positions both on the board but also in the CCNSO, the GNSO, and the ALAC. This year's cycle is too late for applying, but next year's cycle will start, I guess, in a few months' time, with the next chair, the chair-elect, who will take over. And so it'll be a good opportunity for any of you who are interested in this, in the board, to board positions or the other positions I've mentioned, to apply. The ombudsman on the side relates to the chair. He will pass by. Very useful person. Deals with any conflicts. It's also a mediator if you have some mediation required for some of the discussions. Of course, we've got president and CEO, and the numbers for the ICANN staff have actually increased greatly since ICANN has had to do so much more in the past few years. Now, we're going to do something that we love doing, which is to actually get rid of the board of directors. Let's go to the next slide, please. Zap. They're all out. Good. Now we can talk. That's really where the policy work takes place. The board is just there to ratify the policy work, get the input from all of the organizations that are part of ICANN, and they're not there to make policy. That policy is discussed in those component organizations, and most of the component organizations that you see there are multi-stakeholder in nature. One that is not multi-stakeholder in nature is the GAC, the Government Advisory Committee, because that's of course composed of governments, and they have their own part in ICANN. They have a high-level meeting taking place on Monday, and I would invite, if you are interested, to see GAC members talk to each other and participate. I know they have an open session as well where you can ask questions. You'd be really encouraged to go and meet with governments. They're not bad. They're nice people. They come here, they talk. They don't impose their point of view on anyone else because they are part of the overall ICANN multi-stakeholder model. So they just have another seat at the table, just like the other advisory committees. That's the overall model. As you can see, at large, internet users, very important. We have a voice. We are able to comment on things. on everything basically taking place at ICANN. Next. ICANN functions, very important. ICANN doesn't deal with the content on websites. ICANN doesn't deal with freedom of speech issues, with some of the sort of broader internet governance issues that are out there. The primary functions of ICANN are to deal with the names, the addresses, the lookup between the names and addresses, so the translation between the two. There are hundreds of billions of lookups that take place every day for every internet user that surfs the net or sends emails and so on. Of course, there's the country code top-level domains that are all part of ICANN. So you've got the ICANN policy that's in the center of everything, the lookup and the technical work that ICANN does, and then the protocols and parameters that are all part of this overall system. And that, of course, includes the use of the protocols that the IETF has designed for computers to talk to each other. Next slide, please. Now, there's a massive roadmap here, which you're not expected to see. That's the sort of thing that is taking place at the moment, the work that has been taking place. You will notice many of the people sitting around the table, myself included, have got very dark patches under our eyes. That's because we don't really know what day it is, what time of the day it is, whether it's day or night. We know we're on planet Earth, but we're constantly traveling between one thing and another. There's an enormous amount of work that's taking place there. And I hand over to our chief traveler extraordinaire, Nigel Hickson, who was recently vice president for global stakeholder engagement for Europe and has now moved as, it says here, vice president for IGO, EGO. Perhaps not ego, but Nigel, I hand the floor over to you.
Thanks very much indeed. And if I may stand up, it's easy. I'm not very good at sitting. Well, I can sit down, but not very good at talking and sitting down. So, welcome to London. It's the first time I've said that. Well, the first time at this conference. London's my hometown, so it's fantastic to have an ICANN meeting here. Well, I thought it was going to be fantastic having an ICANN meeting here, and then it takes rather a lot of work. But it's really great to be here, and it's great that the sun is shining. We ordered that specially. It won't last all week, so make the most of it. In fact, it'll probably last about 2 days. So Olivier, thank you very much for inviting me along this morning. As you said, my name is Nigel Hicks, and I work in the Geneva office. We have a Geneva office, and I particularly work in relation on internet governance issues in relation to the UN, to the ITU, and to various other international organisations. So the idea is to talk a bit about internet governance and what's going on. And Olivier and I decided to put this roadmap up because it's interesting, in not so much in the detail. Some of the detail is past, some of the detail is even wrong now because things change so much. But what it does, if you look at the slides together, and I'm sure you'll have these in your pack or whatever, it shows a continuum. It shows a road, it shows a route from back in 2012 right through to 2015 on internet governance. And you might say, well, you know, internet governance, why does it need a road? I mean, it's something that's there, it's something that's being discussed. Well, the roadmap is useful because there is a set of negotiations, there's a set of discussions, there's a whole panoply of sort of the overview of internet governance taking place during these few years. So can you move the slides along? Is that possible, Heidi? Or
Ariel is dealing with this.
Oh, I'm not sure.
No, move to the next slide.
Oh, yeah,
please.
Look. See, the slides go along. That's great. So essentially, let me frame the discussions on internet governance in this way. So very briefly, internet governance is about the governance of the internet. Now, I know that sounds tripe, but it's in two ways. So internet governance is governance of the internet, which is the stuff that we're involved in ICANN and the RIRs and the IETF and the standards bodies. So it's the nuts and bolts, it's the guts of the internet, it's the numbers, it's the names, it's the technical infrastructure. It's what we get excited about in ICANN. And just a few other people get excited about it as well. And then there's governance on the internet. And internet governance covers both areas. And governance on the internet is things like privacy, surveillance, child protection, cybersecurity, data protection, fraud, all these issues. And you might say, well, you know, what's that got to do with us? But it's all internet governance, and it all gets discussed in a sort of continuum of discussions. And it's particularly pertinent at the moment because some of you will recall that on the internet governance agenda, back in 2003 and 2005, there was this World Summit on the Information Society, which, if you like, addressed on how the internet should be governed. And there were lots of compromises, the IGF was set up, etc. And something called the Tunis Agenda was developed and was published. And the Tunis Agenda has this definition on internet governance, and it's the Tunis Agenda that's being reviewed. It's 10 years on, so it's being reviewed by the United Nations in 2015. And that in itself has kicked off a number of discussions on internet governance. So if we can leave the roadmap for now, because rather than go through individual items, I picked a few out which I think are relevant. So if we can go to the next slide. And the next slide. Wow, it goes on and on, doesn't it? It's great. It's well worth looking at. And the next slide. It does stop. It does stop. And one more. Right. Okay, so what I'm going to do is briefly pick out a few things on that roadmap. So you can look back at the roadmap and you can see a number of these different discussions, a number of these different forums taking place. And we've characterized this of internet governance post-Wicket. Some of you will recall that in 2012, the International Telecommunications Union held a summit, they held a conference.
Nigel? Wicket. Yes. What is Wicket?
Wicket. Wicket, yes, what is Wicket? Well, I was going to explain. Well, I was anyway. Wicket was the World Conference on International Telecommunications. Is that right? World Conference, yeah. World Conference on International Telecommunications. It was an ITU conference to review something called the International Telecommunication Regulations, which had been drawn up in 1988. Now, this is not relevant to us. But what the conference did was to debate the whole subject of the internet. Because, as I said, there's a dichotomy on the governance of the internet between those countries, those institutions, those bodies, those individuals that feel the internet should be governed by the ITU or should be governed by the UN or should be governed by some other governmental organisation, and the belief that most of us have that the internet should be governed in a multi-stakeholder way in which we do it and the RIRs do it, etc., etc. And this debate on internet governance came to the fore at the Wicket conference in December. And since then, there's been a number of other events that have discussed internet governance. And I'm going to go through just a couple of them, and then we're going to look very briefly to the future. So if I could have the next slide. So after the World Conference on the International Telecommunications, which, as I said, this debate had taken place on internet governance, we had the World Telecommunications Policy Forum, another ITU conference in May 2013. And this was actually had a focus on internet governance, and we agreed some policy recommendations on internet governance, which included the need to discuss internet governance in a multi-stakeholder way. So for us, this was quite a positive development. It recognised that not everything was right, that not everything was rosy in the garden, but that we needed to discuss internet governance in a multi-stakeholder way, and that we needed to address the concerns and the concerns of governments, specifically in the developing world, on internet governance issues. Because one of the main issues that came out of that WICKET conference in December 2012 in Dubai was governments saying that they had issues, whether it was on spam, whether it was on cybersecurity, whether it was on fraud, whether it was on child protection, and how were they going to get these issues resolved? Where could they get advice? Where could they get policy guidance on these issues? Next slide, please. So the World Telecommunications Policy Forum addressed internet governance. And then, of course, after May 2013, we had June. So this time last year, what was on the front of our newspapers, certainly in many of our countries? Snowden, surveillance, lack of privacy, government spying on their citizens. This whole issue of surveillance came to the forefront. And many of us were faced with a dilemma, weren't we? Because we say, well, to an extent, it's got nothing to do with ICANN. It had nothing to do with ICANN, clearly. It had nothing to do with the technical nature on the internet, although technical vulnerabilities were used to an extent. It had nothing to do with us. But it raised the whole issue of internet governance onto a new level, because the surveillance recommendations made people think. And they thought, well, what is going on the internet? Who governs the internet? How is the governance of the internet taken forward? And many of you will also recall that there was a speech by the president of Brazil, Mrs. Rousseff, in New York in September 2013, in which she challenged the United Nations. She said, we can't go on like this. We need a new model for the internet. The internet is too important. The internet has grown up. The internet has become an adult. And the internet needs adults to work with it. And so, as a result of that speech and various negotiations that followed that speech, Brazil decided to host this Net Mundial conference in April 2014. Many of you were there. This was a multi-stakeholder meeting of global participants to discuss the multi-stakeholder model. That's what's written there. And it resulted in a statement on internet governance principles. And these internet governance principles were the principles by which, if you like, governments and civil society and business should abide, and a roadmap for the future evolution of internet governance. Next slide, please. So So why was this important? We thought this was quite an important occasion because it was, post-Snowden, a meeting of global stakeholders to discuss internet governance. It was probably a unique occasion. Brazil organized this meeting in a truly multi-stakeholder way. They had committees made up of multi-stakeholders. It attracted, as I said, 110 countries, and it debated a paper, it debated an output document on which there were many, many inputs before the discussion, and many inputs and many comments during the discussion in São Paulo. It was a truly democratic experience being at Net Mundial. Governments, civil society, businesses were there all together. In some way, it was different from what we do in ICANN, and I'm no expert of what we do in ICANN, but the unique thing about Net Mundial is everyone stood. You know how we do the public forum at ICANN, and we all stand behind microphones? Well, it was the same at Net Mundial. And all they did at Net Mundial that was different, because they had so many people that wanted to talk, they had one microphone here for civil society and business, and they had one microphone over here for government. It was quite strange, actually. So there was people queued up for government and people queued up for civil society, but they got confused and they got in the wrong queues. But it was incredible to see everyone standing up, speaking together. The result of that conference, the result of the Net Mundial, was important in that it codified principles on internet governance, and it set out the need for internet governance to be discussed with all participants, that internet governance wasn't the purview of just governments or just business or just civil society. It was everyone working together. Next slide. I'll try and go a bit faster. So it was different. It was very different. And the widespread endorsement of the final document was very important. Now, the final document wasn't to everyone's liking. It talked about freedom of expression. It talked about the open internet, which for some societies, which for some governments, understandably, politically, is difficult for them. But it had widespread endorsement by nearly everyone there. Okay, next. And as I said, the impact of Net Mondial is still being felt, and I think it will be a significant factor as we move forward. So just now to look at a couple of sort of events that are still to take place. If you can go to the next slide. Whoops. Right. Well, the WTDC was the World Telecommunications Development Conference that took place just after Net Mondial, and that in itself was an ITU's four-yearly conference to look at development measures. Again, it didn't touch much on ICANN's work. It touched a bit on IPv6. But again, it showed that by coming together, by all parties coming together, and it was a very open conference with governments, with business, with civil society, one could make a difference on the developmental front. Next slide. The IGF, the Internet Governance Forum, takes place in September in Istanbul. The Internet Governance Forum, many of you will know about it. It's important because it is the only truly global meeting of all stakeholders on an annual basis on all sorts of topics to do with internet governance. And this year is going to be particularly important because it's going to try and take up some of the process that we had in Net Mondial in Brazil, and it's going to try and have some sessions where there are actual conclusions, where some sort of documentation of the policy discussions is drawn up. And equally important, the mandate for the Internet Governance Forum has to be renewed by the United Nations in 2015, and thus the importance of the discussion in September. Okay. Next slide. Thanks. So to finish then, two more events on this continuing process, if you like, which are important. ITU holds its plenipotentiary, the plenipotentiary conference, obviously every 4 years. And so it's in 2014, it's in Busan in South Korea at the end of October and November. It's the time where the ITU comes together, the membership of the ITU, which is primarily the 196 countries, joined by the sector members, which are businesses and academics, etc. But the plenipotentiary is mainly an opportunity for the governments to come together to re-elect their leaders. So at this conference, the Secretary General, Hamadon Touré, steps down. He's done his 8 years. He's going to be replaced by a new Secretary General. There'll be elections for the Deputy Secretary General and the head of the Telecommunications Standardization Board. So the elections take place. It's a time when the ITU adopts its strategic plan for the next 4 years and looks at lots of other process issues as well. But it's also an opportunity where the ITU can amend its constitution and convention, which is important because it's the ITU constitution which is the bedrock for what the ITU does. And it's an opportunity for the ITU to renew their resolutions. So the resolutions, so the constitution, if you like, says what the ITU does in terms of its nature, like ICANN has a sort of constitution. And the resolutions are what, if you like, the membership wants the ITU to do. So the resolution says that the Secretary General should go out and paint a building, or the resolution say the Secretary General should do this, or the staff should do this. It's the resolutions. And the resolutions on internet governance, and some of them I've noted up there, will be renewed in 2014, later this year. So internet governance will be one of those discussions, and hence the importance of this conference. And we are hoping that what this conference will do is, if you like, will lance the boil that was created to an extent at the WICKED, as I said, where there was this fight, where there was this divergence between countries, where there was a vote on whether governance, you know, should be something for the people or something for the governments. Not exactly of that nature, but there was this dichotomy in Wicket in 2012, and what we're hoping in Busan later this year, there'll be a structured debate, and it will be recognised that ICANN has a role, that the ITU has a role, that the IETF has a role, that ISOC has a fundamental role in terms of the internet, that the RIRs have a role, that we all have roles to play, that we can't, you know, we need to cooperate. We've got vital work to do to reach the next so many billion users, as Fadi Chahadi would tell you much more eloquently than I can. And we all have a role to play, and we must cooperate. And we're hoping that in Busan, the resolutions will reflect that cooperation. It will reflect what role we play. Perhaps I'm an optimist. The alternative, of course, is that the resolutions will call for the ITU to do things, or they'll call for the UN to do things. And if the resolutions call for that, it'll be a disaster, because it will split the ITU, it will split the UN in terms of internet governance, and again we'll be back into this endless, meaningless debate. Okay, and finally, you say with gratefulness, so finally, after the plenipotentiary, so next slide please. And the next slide. Right. So I'm going to finish on the WSIS review, where I started to an extent. So as I said, so the World Summit on the Information Society in 2005 said that the Tunis Agenda, or the action lines under the Tunis Agenda, had to be reviewed by 2015. There's been two review conferences. UNESCO held a review conference for their action lines, and UNESCO have action lines on multilingualism, on linguistic issues, on cultural issues, etc., on human rights. And they reviewed, they had a conference in 2013. And only last week, was it only last week or the week before, the ITU held a conference, hosted a WSIS conference in Geneva, looking at a whole host of other action lines. And we adopted documents at that conference, very positive documents, looking at the WSIS action lines. And those outputs from those conferences are going to be discussed in the UN General Assembly, probably in a conference in December 2015, where the UN, if you like, will look at the whole, what's come out of the WSIS agenda, and hopefully endorse that, you know, we've made progress on a number of things. We've made progress on accessibility. We've made progress on broadband access, but there's more work to do in a whole host of other areas. But it's important because some countries have indicated that they would like to use this review, if you like, of what happened in 2003 and 2005. They'd like to use that as a platform for a discussion on the governance of the internet again. In other words, to a discussion on whether the Tunis Agenda itself, which set out this multi-stakeholder approach, should be effectively sort of torn up again. And this is, again, something which we probably would think is not the best use of our time. So I'll finish there, and I think there's one more slide that Olivier will probably want to talk to. So if we can go to the next slide. There we are. Now, Olivier will talk to this slide, but thank you very much for listening. I've got to disappear for a minute, he says, to address a staff meeting, but I'll be back for the discussion later on. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Nigel.
We've had just one question, actually, on the chat before you go, regarding the privacy and the statements on privacy of the Net Mundial Declaration. What does it add beyond the UN resolution of the last December?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good discussion. I mean, the UN resolution of last December, was it? Yeah.
December, yeah.
Yeah, where it said sort of treatment online and treatment offline should be equal, and there was the resolution from Brazil and Germany. I don't think what came out of Net Mundial in terms of principles took that significantly further, although I could be challenged on that. I think what's significant about the principles that came out of Net Mundial is that they were debated and agreed in this multi-stakeholder setting, that they're not just the principles that were, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the principles adopted by the UN General Assembly, but I think it was significant that these principles were adopted by Net Mundial. And equally significant, and something I should have mentioned, but no doubt you'll hear it this week,
is that those principles that were adopted in Brazil, in São Paulo in April, were also then re-endorsed by the high-level panel on internet governance that ICANN sort of hosted, chaired by President Ilves of Estonia. That panel reported in May and effectively said we were going to come up with our own principles, but the ones in Brazil were so good that we'll use those instead. So I think, yeah, it was important.
Okay, thank you very much, Nigel. We'll let you go to your meeting and come back pretty quickly. And we're going to start a little dialogue here, discussion. You've all been sitting here listening and doing your emails and whatever else sometimes. We're well aware of that. We're listening on every single computer in this room. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I know that several people who went to Net Mundial are in the room. Just one, the last slide was just the reiteration of what I said earlier. Why is it important for internet users? Certainly the debate on surveillance is something which has raised a lot of eyes and a lot of hands up at the time. And as far as the ICANN context is concerned, this organization doesn't deal with surveillance matters as such. As I said earlier, it doesn't deal with content. But the policies that are decided in these fora and in the ICANN forums and where what we do here will affect all the internet users out there. The users really need to have a voice in that. I cannot imagine someone not having a voice into their future. And these are very, very serious issues. If we lose the multi-stakeholder system of governance for the internet, we potentially lose democracy. I know it might seem totally crazy to say that, but really giving control of a network to one government or organization that is not taking any interest in listening to internet users and to the component parts of the internet, including the companies that provide the services, etc., is a real danger. So bottom up is the order of the day. And again, we need to keep the internet user centric. If we lose the user centricity of the internet, we lose the internet. That's as simple as that. So I thought maybe first thing, just to start on the discussion on this, we could maybe have a bit of a few of the members, the people that have actually gone to Net Mundial or even others to put their hand up. We need a roving mic. If staff could start putting their gym shoes on and start running around. I don't know how many mics we have. We should have more than one. We've got two. Great. So one will be thrown around from person to person, and the other one will be carried from person to person. And I've seen already there was Fouad and there was Garth, is that correct? Behind. So Fouad Bajwa first and then Garth. And then Alan afterwards. Okay, we have a queue already.
Thank you, Olivier. I'm Fouad Bajwa from AP Rallo in Pakistan. Though I wasn't a participant within the Net Mundial, but I was definitely a very good follower of what was happening in the various OneNet and the IGC discussions. One thing which I've noted is that though you would have not full participation from developing countries like ours, but one thing which does affect our countries and which I've seen on an ongoing basis with regards to internet public policy and governance is that even ideas can impact the situation of surveillance and other issues in our countries. Already, the way that surveillance happens in our part of the world is not just one or two websites or one or two IP addresses or domain names. These are blanket bans. These may be on terminology like undesirable, unwanted, and blasphemous content. And that can be literally anything. These are very broad terms. And they can be loaded with like any kind of content. And there's a huge uncertainty that the internet brings to our part of the world. And governments are not open to that change. And that is one of the primary challenges that we face with regards to internet governance. The second most important thing remains, and you hear this across the IGF community and you hear this across the ICANN community, that capacity building and awareness the one of the only ways or the keys to open a door of understanding how the internet is important and how it impacts them. Because if you look at the end of the day, it is the government-controlled channels that the internet is being accessed through our countries. Those gateways are managed by the countries. Even small concepts like internet exchange points are surveillance by the government. You literally need permission from them. So one of the future challenges that we see is a struggle, a continuous struggle, to bring the relevant people who actually impact the policy development within developing countries to these tables, whatever effort it takes. It doesn't just matter about ICANN's specific role within the internet ecosystem, but it also impacts the way these countries understand ICANN. And I think with the globalization of ICANN, the transition of the IANA stewardship role, there's an important aspect of capacity building and engagement which cannot be underlooked. There has to be a lot of investment in that, and our community has to continue that role, that we are the champions of the discussions and the interventions with regards to the user, the internet user aspect in our countries, and we should somehow be used by ICANN, either be strategized or used as arms or ambassadors within our countries, and somehow bring these debates with a renewed vision to IGF and future net models. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fawad. Next is Garth Graham.
Hello, my name is Garth Graham, and I represent Telecommunities Canada. And I'm provoked by that last slide that points out the essential nature of the internet as user-centric, and I'd like to pose a question. If, in fact, that's true, then why is it that identity on the internet is not user-centric, and can it be made to be user-centric as a standard? My assumption in that is that if my voice, the track of myself across the world, is owned by me, regardless of who is tracking me, then I have a far greater trust in the fact that my story is being properly told.
Thank you very much, Garth. I haven't got an answer for you. Maybe someone has. Do you have an answer? Okay, Carlos Aguirre. I thought we had two mics. Tijani has got the other one. Okay. We'll have Carlos, then Tijani, and then Alan Greenberg is in the queue, and I see a lot of hands now. Yeah, you'll have to put your 10 cards up or something, because I have difficulty, and I should be above everyone and controlling the world, but of course not. That's not the way it works. So, Carlos, you have the floor.
Gracias, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier. I'm going to speak in Spanish. Thank you. I think NetMundial was an excellent first step to start discussing many issues. A lot was said about massive surveillance, intellectual property. A lot was said about freedom of expression, freedom of speech. And I think it's absolutely interesting, and I support all those issues, as I said, in NetMundial. But I believe there is something which is key, which is absolutely important, as Forward said. It's the issue of capacity building. We need more leaders. We need a commitment. We need engagement. We need those leaders who are not here, who have to be built. Because as you, Olivier, said, that discussion is a discussion that all of us have to hold. We all have to be in there. And I think this is the core. What do we have to define, and how can we make things better? We have to build those capacities, because in NetMundial in Sao Paulo, we were only 800 of us. 800 people at present account for 1/10 of a million of the world population. We need more people there. We need more people involved in this. This is why I believe, and this is my last remark, capacity building is fundamental here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and that's very well heard, and I hope that we will have at least another 110 more people that will be taking part in this in the next global forum. Okay, we've got a lot of cards here. At the moment, I've got Tijani Benjema, Alan Greenberg, and then I'm going to have to ask staff to look at the names right behind because I can't really see. Okay, Tijani Benjema, and then we'll work out who's after.
Sometime okay, thank you.
To turn it on. Try this. Go ahead, Tijani Benjema.
Thank you. I wanted to make the difference between the surveillance and the internet governance. There is a lot of confusion about that. As Olivier said, surveillance doesn't have anything to do with the internet governance. Surveillance is about your bank giving access to its government to your bank account. This is surveillance. Internet governance is absolutely different. It is about who have the oversight of the internet. One government, an intergovernmental body, or a cross-community multi-stakeholder body. This is the difference. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Oh! Oh dear, the cables have been... Okay, so next is Johnny Laureano, is that correct?
Sí. ¿Cómo están? Buenos días. Voy a hablar en español.
Good morning, I'm going to speak in Spanish. For those of us who attended Net Mundial in Brazil, I'd like to tell those of you who did not attend that meeting that something very important was achieved, and it's related to the title of today's meeting, updating about the world discussion on the future of internet governance and multi-stakeholder model. When we speak of multi-stakeholders, we speak of the different interests that the governments, private companies, and of course civil society may have. And this means that all of us who are here have our interests, and this is why we're here representing our interests. Net Mundial, the following was achieved. The civil society, who used to be represented since the World Summit on Information Society in Tunisia in 2005, over 8 or 9 years ago, there were only three stakeholders: governments, private companies, and civil society. Only three stakeholders. And civil society may today include all of us here in this room. But civil society, since Net Mundial, is no longer civil society. In Net Mundial, it was clearly said, and this is included in Net Mundial's statement, that today civil society is represented by four segments: the academia, the technical community, civil society, and the representatives of internet users. And by representatives of the internet users, we mean exactly the following: users and internet users. This is very clear, and we should make a distinction and move forward. We have to update our knowledge. We have to update what we have been doing up to now. In the future, there will be news according to the new structures, so that we will be able to have a clearly defined internet governance. Internet governance built on the opinions of the academia. Carlos Aguirre's presentation made a very good presentation in Net Mundial. The visions of many technical people were quite right, as well as the opinion of the civil society. And of course, my opinion as a representative of the group of users in Peru and members of the Latin American Federation of Internet Users. Obviously, we want to create a new internet governance model, and this is why we're here. Let's all work hard so that we will be able to achieve this. Let's build an internet that may be government from this vision with these four groups represented. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for giving me this opportunity. I think this is a very big opportunity for all of us. Thank you.
It's very, very good indeed. Now we have a queue, and next in the queue is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. Olivia, you asked at the beginning, why is this important? And I think it's a key question. There's a number of organizations in the world that have real day-to-day true impact on users. They range from the United Nations, the World Court, ITU, World Intellectual Property Organization, all of which, in ways we often don't understand, control much of our lives. You know, WIPO, you may think of as an abstract organization, but the rules that are agreed there govern what drugs are available in developing countries. And, you know, all sorts of really critical things. All have a real impact on users. All were created pretty much uniquely by governments and companies that were involved, whether they're telecommunication companies or drug companies. This is perhaps arguably the only such endeavor which is going to have significant impact on real users, and we're at the table. Not well, not strongly, not always fairly, but we have a voice, and we're not likely to be excluded in the future. It's our challenge to make sure we use that voice effectively and impact the output. We better not blow it, is what it comes down to. There's never been a case that I'm aware of in the past where we have had the opportunity to impact things that are going to continue to impact us directly in our day-to-day lives. We need to take this seriously. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next is Sergio Salinas Porto. Sergio? And the mic is not here. Where is it?
Evan was next.
Evan was, well, that's not what I've got on there. Oh, I've got, okay, little thing on the side. Fair enough. So Evan, we'll put Evan immediately afterwards. Sergio, you have the floor. And sorry, Evan.
Muy buenos días a todos.
Good morning, everyone. I am Sergio Salinas Porto. I am from Internauta, Argentina, La Corralo. I'm going to speak in Spanish. We have discussed this several times in different meetings with internet users organizations. What Johnny said is quite true. I support him as a member of the Latin American Federation of Internet Users, but I think he also expresses what we are doing in our countries to defend consumers. And I'd like to add something. In this room, a lot has been said about the spying role of governments, and I think we're mature enough to give a term to that, to name this. There is only one government that has been proved to be doing this, to spy other governments, citizens, and there is a name, United States of America. And we have to give a name to these things, because otherwise we will never move forward. And we will say that the things that the government have to do are being challenged. The governments are not being challenged. What we're challenging is the fact that a government in one country has intruded into other countries. Just that.
I think that it is recognized that actually everyone is pretty much spying on everyone else as well. I don't think, okay, perhaps, yes, one government has certainly been pointed at, but it looks as though the information is being shared everywhere and everyone spies on everybody else. Of course, it's kind of one of these open secret type things. It's a cabal. Yeah, exactly. We're being spied on, and of course we'll probably have feedback from them very soon. Let's have Evan Leibovich next. By the way, there's always a joke. Yeah, if you have any problems with your laptop or files and so on, you can ask these guys to send you a backup, and it'll all be fine. Evan Leibovich.
Thanks very much, Olivier. This is Evan for the record. I was very happy to be one of the people at Ment Mundial speaking, and I was very impressed with what I saw there. As you know, I was at the mic. I was very happy to be speaking, in fact, on behalf of end users and working to get end user issues mentioned in the Ment Mundial documents. I was unhappy, unfortunately, to be the only person doing so. We need a lot more of this. I want to emphasize what Carlos had said earlier about capacity building. In order for bottom-up to work properly, end users need to be informed about the issues, need to be informed about it in language that can be understood on the outside of the ICANN bubble. This is absolutely critical. One of the other things that impressed me about Ment Mundial was the use of the external internet hubs. And the fact that you could have people that were halfway around the world sitting in rooms, computer clubs, or whatever, with a webcam on them, and they received the same amount of attention as the people that were standing at the mics in Sao Paulo. I found that extremely impressive, and I would like to see the extent to which we can bring that into ICANN meetings. This is a very, very good contribution, and it helps break outside the bubble, outside the elites, and try and bring this into the kind of accessibility that is claimed that everybody wants, but rarely actually happens. So between that, again, I want to stress, we need education. We need people to understand. You folks in the room, you're on the front lines of this. So please listen what you can. Challenge when you hear acronyms or things that are difficult to get by. Try and, to the extent you can, come away without, trying to penetrate the lingo and the culture that you see here. Don't be scared to ask questions, and please make the best of what you can. There's some lessons to be learned from Ment Mundial, and I see some of them coming out here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Next is Thomas Lovenhaupt.
Hi, Tom Lovenhaupt here. I'm from Connecting.NYC, where a public interest organization advocating for the development of the .NYC top-level domain as a public interest resource. I submitted a paper to the Ment Mundial entitled Cities, Citizens, and City TLDs. And what I would like to think of is, as we go forward, that in the past we had a situation, or we still have a situation, where there's an industry that's quite aware of the power of a TLD that's approaching cities, and cities are not nearly as aware as they should be of what this TLD can do for civil society, for the operation of government, for creating on-ramps for those on the wrong side of the digital divide. And I'd like to suggest that when the next 300, there are going to be 300 cities that have a million or more population that are going to be looking, for example, at the 35 who are now applying for their, who have now achieving their TLDs. And I'd like to suggest that the at-large have a role in those new cities as they come along. That cities have to demonstrate before they can get a TLD that there's informed consent on the part of the people in those cities, and that part of that informed consent would come in the form of an at-large structure in every one of the cities. So if you don't have an at-large structure that's actively engaged with the citizens, that's providing on-ramps for residents of cities, your city is not prepared to have a TLD yet. So I'd like to see this body consider that as, I think most of us here probably live in cities, and most of us live in cities that do not have or will not have TLDs in the near future, but in 3 or 4 years, many or most cities will be applying for them, and we need to incorporate in our TLDs planning for how they work with other technologies like GIS, how they integrate with the society, and in a variety of ways make greater cities not sell domain names. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Next we have Fatima Cabernero.
Thank you. Thanks, Olivier. This is Fatima Cambronero, ALAC member by LAC RALO, and I will speak in Spanish.
I'm going to talk not about the Net Mundial meeting itself, because we have referred to this in many other spaces, and we'll also refer to this in thematic session number 3, so I invite you to discuss this issue there. Now, with respect to what I can see as a consequence, as a result of Net Mundial, and at national level, for example, in my country, in Argentina, after this meeting, which for many colleagues in the region had an important marketing impact in now making everybody want to know what internet governance is about and participate in internet governance issues, and the repercussion it had in some national areas was that now governments do want to get involved in these issues. They are dealing with these issues, and they are inviting the other stakeholders to talk, at least, to have a dialogue area. At least in my country, it's not really very clear whether this will be a decision-making area or whether the other stakeholders will be able to get involved in this decision-making. But we can take those decisions, and from our perspective, the perspective of organizations who represent end users, this is a positive impact. Now, another consequence is that this that we have raised here, the need to build capacity, is essential because people want to get involved and they don't know how to do this. And I will disagree with my colleagues. I do agree that we do need to get more involved. I am a lot more involved now in initiatives related to these issues. But sometimes it's not necessary to invest money or resources. Sometimes we can do this presenting volunteers by using the tools we have in LAC RALO, in our Latin American and Caribbean region. We started a capacity building program with monthly calls that has worked. It has allowed more people, more LAC RALO members, to hear about the issues we are discussing and deepen on these a little bit more. This can be copied with an online tool, and I want to call upon the leaders of the community. Many times we invited them to get involved in these capacity building programs, and most of them have gotten involved, but some of them have not really done this. And also the mentoring program I'm involved with, if we want more leaders, then it's the current leaders, the one who want to function as a model for future generations. So this is a call for more involvement by those who are already involved. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fatima. And what we're seeing here is a call for more involvement, of course, in our capacity building working groups and sessions. But also, we've heard earlier from Tom Lovenhaupt, more involvement of at-large structures actively engaged with citizens and with local authorities. There is certainly a push these days for internet users not only to go and collaborate with the process that we have here, but also speak to their local governments and sometimes to their national governments. There was a discussion that took place yesterday about involvement of internet society chapters with their local governments in the run-up to all of the discussions that are coming up in the future. So we see much capacity building definitely is required. There were a few questions on the chat. There's one which I was going to ask Alejandro Pesanti to answer. I don't know whether, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Alejandro, but I know yesterday we spoke, or was it the day before yesterday? It's all a long time continuum. Javier Rodriguez on the chat asks me, actually, why the ICANN board years ago reduced the number of representatives of the at-large on the board. And I know we had discussed this, and you were around at the time, and we know of the direct suffrage and thing. Maybe you can give us a quick short background to how this whole reorganization of ICANN took place.
You are right, Olivier. This is Alejandro Pisanti speaking for the record. No, I'm speaking for everybody. I'm stating my name for the record. You should know that this phrase, speaking for the record, has caused some extremely fun confusions in some communities. People actually addressing everybody in the community as the records. We have had to explain in very detailed way that you're actually speaking to the people and for the people, and that when you're saluting the records, you're actually saluting magnetic tape or some bits in a CD elsewhere, somewhere. That said, yes, Olivier, you are right. You are sorry to put me in the spot. I will soon prove that. ICANN's history in relationship to the representation of users is extremely rich and complex. The premise of user representation and user participation was there from the start in the very first design by Ira Magaziner and the Department of Commerce and the very first negotiations of how to build up a new organization to take the place of John Postel in managing IANA. It was thought at the time, and it is still widely believed, that the management of this resource, of this function, has to take place in a very well-informed way, in a technically and in a policy orientation well-informed way, and it has to take part with the interested parties, with those that have money to lose or honor or prestige or fame, or anything else at stake. That's where the name stakeholders comes. The general users have to be part of the decision-making. And we have to remember that the decision-making here, and this will explain the rest of it, is reducing the possibility of arbitrary decisions made in changing records in the root zone of the DNS. Instead of having some staff in IANA being able to do whatever they want with the names, you create all these huge policy apparatus only to reduce the chance that they would put in a new GTLD or change the incumbent of the manager of a CCTLD. So users come in to this equation, as well as the registries, registrars, the trademark interests, business interests in general, and so forth. And that's for the names. Of course, we also have the addresses. But people, we repeatedly see that the focus of most general users and organizations are on the names. So I will use more of the names in the following very briefly. By the year 2000, approximately 1999 or 2000, in the very first meetings of ICANN, there was an initial board which was handpicked, and then there was the first election in 1999 from the GNSO and other organizations. And there was a very intense negotiation to bring in user representation. The intent was to sit 9 elected directors beside the 9 directors that were elected by the organizations like the GNSO and the ASO. Then there was a very intense negotiation to start doing 5 directors, 1 per region, on a direct election. And that direct election we ran, I was part of the team that designed, ran, etc., part of that election. And this election was run by region in a very open way. Anyone who registered with an email address could become a voter, and there was a snail mail confirmation of their actual existence. But this was still a very weak confirmation or a very weak authentication of the people being there. The votes took place by regions. It had significant phenomena that, from an election theory and an election organization point of view, were signaling serious risks. The main risk was a risk of capture by specific interests. So you could have a company order all its employees to register, and you have global companies with several tens of thousands of employees. You can have 50,000 voters voting for the same person in an organized way without any knowledge of the stuff, without reading the election platform, without looking at anything, just following instructions. Or you can have this happening in a country. And in fact, it happened that one country and one company were basically competing one against the other in the Asia-Pacific region. You could have a CCTLD manager send emails to all its registrants and make a promotion that, you know, this is the time our country has to take its place under the sun in the government of the internet, as was the propaganda there. In others, it was nationalist propaganda. So you broke the basic tenet of elections, which is that you have a well-defined electorate, and you count how the opinion of this electorate or the choices of this electorate are split among the candidates, and instead everybody brings their own candidates. And in a country like Mexico, or as I hear in other developing countries or in India, you know, that's the usual way that the incumbent party, the party in power, brings in the peasants on trucks, drives them to the polling station, they vote for the party, and they get a sandwich and a Coke or a beer. And that's what was very openly a risk in the election at that time. And that's what was changed in a major process of reform. What we did then was to first reorganize the at-large participation. What we see now is based on a concept of a web of trust, where we know who is speaking and with whom we are speaking. So if an organization has 5 members, we know it's 5 people, they're technically oriented, we know who they are. And we have to re-engender this trust among us. And we are slowly building up from here, from the bottom up, the number of representatives that will be elected to the board. I'm not on the board, I'm not taking part of these decisions, but the long-term program is, as trust is engendered and as positive, informed contributions come from the at-large, then I am pretty confident that we will see more and more elected directors. In the meantime, the community broadly gets into the board without direct representation, but with a consideration of not only interests, especially monetary or economic interest through the NOMCOM. And that will need some reviewing in the long term in order to make sure that this, it's called leavening, to translate into Spanish, levadura, yeast, the thing you put into the flour so that it becomes a spongy, soft cake instead of a hard cookie. That's what is supposed to happen with the NOMCOM. You bring in people who are not just fighting, you know, I want more protection for the trademark, I want more liberty in creating new names. You put in some people who are supposed to look more for the general interest. And that I will end on that note. What we need looking forward is first, of course, to be concerned of more direct representation or more representation to this organized structures of the at-large, but mostly what should concern us is not only interests. I heard several times people speak about civil society interests. I think there's one more important thing, which is the technical community, parts of the academic community, parts of the business, and everybody else should not only look at interests, but there are a few principles which we should hold dear. Principles which are the core design of the internet, the core design of the DNS and the IP allocation system, like openness, stability, resilience, these things. These are principles which are important for all of us. And we should build an informed and trustworthy function of stewardship, of trusteeship, of, you know, being the, not the masters of the domain, but making sure that some of us are looking, or ICANN as a whole, is looking for the general good above the individual competing interests of every party. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alejandro, for this historical perspective and the reasons why we are where we are now. Next is Jean-Jacques Subrenat.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenat. I'd like to hark back to what Fouad Badja brought up. I think it was very important. He said that one of the real challenges for the future is the attitude of governments. I think we have to come back to this for just a while. Why are governments in disarray for some of them? Two reasons. One is that some of them, at the birth of the internet, didn't really understand the importance of this new system. And quite logically now, and that's the second point, they are trying to catch up. And of course, it's much more convenient when you're in government to vote for or to set in place an intergovernmental arrangement rather than the multi-stakeholder model. So I'd like to commend you, Olivier, and all those who invented this session this morning, because many of us were not in Net Mundial in Sao Paulo. And even if we followed it at a distance, it was very, very useful to have on the charts the whole lineup of what has happened since WSIS until today and what is coming in the coming months. Coming back to what Fouad Badjoua said earlier, I'd like to point out that the future is not written. It really depends on you and on each of us. There is no guarantee that the multi-stakeholder model, because it's simply well-designed or intelligent or democratic, will win in the end. There's no such thing. It depends on our work. I think that because of the return of governments in ICANN and in the general internet governance setup, there will be a tendency to increase the role of governments, who all claim, of course, that they represent the global public interest. But at the same time, there will be quite a natural tendency also for them to want to control the system. And of course, we know that has been made clear since the Snowden revelations in June last year. Oh, it's just 1 year now. But what is important is that we take stock of the fact that it is the awareness which can make a difference. It is not statements only, it is really the awareness. And this summit, I think, is really contributing to that. Governments come by all colors and sizes. Some of them are more repressive than others, and we have to be very observant of that and very careful. In this sense, I would like to point out something I wrote in an article somewhere. The convergence which I see appearing between some repressive governments and some democratic governments who, in the name of fighting against terrorism or anything else, are in fact restraining more and more public liberties and civil rights. So this convergence between, let's say, a very large country in Asia and a country such as the United States is in itself a danger. It is this risk of violent convergence, not on principles, but simply on practicality of controlling the internet user world. And that, I think, is one of the greatest challenges we are faced with today. Thanks.
Thank you for those very wise words, Jean-Jacques. Just a bracket on the discussion for the record, just to come back to this quickly. You will notice that we are saying for the record because we are on record. This is a public meeting that is recorded, transcribed, interpreted in other languages. So it is recorded in the three languages. It is also transcribed in the three languages. And you will notice these cameras that are also around. I was just reminded that we hadn't actually said that at the beginning of the session. Whatever you're going to say is going to be on the record and is going to be on the internet afterwards, as all of the information and all of the proceeds that take place at ICANN are recorded and are put afterwards for everyone to be able to consult. This is a part of transparency, being able to do things openly in an open fashion. So I thought that it was important to mention that. Going back to the list, I still have Leon Sanchez and Gunilla Atspring. So first, Leon Sanchez, you've been very patient, Leon. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. I'm Leon Sanchez. I'm going to step away from the speaker. And I'm going to speak on Spanish. So
what we saw in Net Mundial, as many of our colleagues have said, was quite relevant. And I think I should point out the following. The reaffirmation of many fears we were already aware of, but which were reaffirmed there, are fears about the existence of groups of governments that try to control the governance of the internet. Some countries are trying to force an agreement, a mechanism, so that the governments will have a greater weight on decision-making within internet governance. As Alejandro Pisanti said, rather than interests, we should think of principles. And within these principles, obviously, aligned with the interests of the civil society, academia, technical community, business community, etc., we should think of how we want to shape the future of this multi-stakeholder model. The supervision and the transition of the IANA function is only one part of this internet governance model. It is key, but it's not the only thing. There is much more. And as such, I think we have to get involved as the at-large community, as the community of users, and we have to take over the responsibility we have toward those millions of users whom we say we represent. And I say we represent because we have not been democratically appointed. But I think that we have to show this commitment so as to show this representation role we're playing. So I invite you to participate in the thematic groups. Thematic group number one that I will be facilitating will precisely focus on the future of the multi-stakeholder model. I think we have a lot of work to do as all of us participate. We will be able to generate a very productive document. Thank you very much.
You've touched on something there, saying about representation. Of course, it's very difficult to represent anyone if you haven't been elected by everyone that you're supposed to represent. But certainly, this community and you all that are sitting here can act in the best interests, in what you think are the best interests of internet users out there. You all are internet users. I'm sure you discuss these issues with friends, colleagues, with people back home, with your community, with your at-large structure, you are able to then formulate what the feeling is in your part of the world. And that's really the strength of the model. Representation, representing 3 billion people is something which I think is pretty much unachievable, except if we have a brand new world order with some new technology or something, but I wouldn't want to be in that sort of position. New technology, yeah, I see Cheryl smiling on the new technology. No, maybe not. The model we have at the moment is one of effectively trying to act in the best interests, and again, very difficult to define the public interest as such, but certainly the interest of internet users can only be or can best be defended by internet users themselves. I've closed the queue because we are running out of time in this discussion. Very interesting discussion, I hope, for all of you. We still have Gunilla Asbrink, Alberto Soto, and Venda Scartazzini. So Gunilla Asbrink, and I'm going to ask for the interventions to be a little bit shorter, please.
Gracias, Olivier. Mi nombre es Alberto Soto.
Thank you, Olivier. I am Alberto Soto. The last speakers always have to speak briefly. I'll try to be brief.
Sorry. Alberto, there's Gunilla Asbrink first, and then you'll be afterwards. Sorry. Ladies first. Gunilla, you have the floor.
Thank you very much.
Gracias, Olivier. Voy a hacer
specific, talking about my experiences of Net Mundial, and that started before I went to Sao Paulo, and I contributed a document, one of the 188 documents, as a draft, and that was based on accessibility for people with disability to the internet, and based on a document I drafted for ISOC on that topic. And the comments that people could put in during the process before Sao Paulo was also very important. So it was another model of inclusiveness. Another way that Net Mundial was inclusive was the actual website. It was accessible based on international web accessibility guidelines and also very attractive and usable. And that is a really good model to consider for ICANN, and I hope sincerely that ICANN will be working on those type of accessibility questions in future. And certainly when it comes to ICANN, we do have now an at-large accessibility task force chaired by Cheryl Langdonore. I should be able to say your name properly, shouldn't I? Yes. And we will be working with the ICANN community to ensure that accessibility becomes part of a culture. And just a little plug, I will be talking about web accessibility at the CSCNSO meeting on Tuesday afternoon at 4:45, if anyone else is interested. Going back to Net Mondial, I did do an intervention on from the floor, and as we've already heard, the idea of the mics and everyone, including government, standing up and queuing, I thought was a very inclusive way of having the debate. Unfortunately, when I was queuing, it went from 2 minutes to 30 seconds. So there wasn't that much time. The other point I'd like to make is the relative openness of the drafting. Anyone could go into the room where the drafting committee was working and listen in to the process of how they were working with all the comments from the floor to present the final document. Unfortunately, at the end, that did not work. So that one would hope in future is something we could address in these type of meetings. And the impact of that Net Mondial stakeholder document at the end, I think we've already heard. This document is being referred to in a lot of other contexts, and having that document where there were so many stakeholders together, and we can then use that document in a number of ways, and to me that was an important impact of Net Mondial. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Gunilla. Next is Alberto Soto. Alberto, you have the floor. And I'm not going to give just 30 seconds, of course. I think it would be very unfair, but please keep your interventions short. Thank you.
Gracias, Olivier.
Habla Alberto Soto. Thank you, Olivier. Alberto Soto, for the record. I'm going to talk about the contact with the end user, which is our leitmotif. Within LACRALO, almost half of the countries are covered by ALSs. The other half is missing. I hope that in the next few days we will approve something that will be completed when we cover all countries. This is a policy of state. As a chair of the LACRALO, I was lucky to participate in meetings in three countries, Bolivia, Haiti, and Dominican Republic, in four events. That is, discussion with end users to capture new ALSs. The experience was highly satisfactory. Why? Because end users and some organizations think that ICANN has a responsibility over what happened with Snowden. And the question is, why did ICANN allow that? And this came up in the three countries in the four meetings. I felt I had to explain the security of an information system with a real case. Once I'm done with the explanation of that case, it was clear a survey, an internet service provider that developed services for banks. I explained the security from a technical point of view. And finally, I said, what does Snowden do here, or what did the ICANN do here? Snowden did not touch WHIS. He did not touch DNSs. He didn't do anything. So whose responsibility is it? And when I finished with my explanation, I was told the person in charge of the information system. And I said, well, who is responsible for the access to the information system in the different countries? And they told me the governments. And unfortunately, I had never heard this being explained in this way in the ICANN. Never. We have, we have to be clear about our goal. The goal is to train people so you have to have the capacity to do things, and this is our goal.
Thank you very much, Alberto. So, and finally, Vanda Scottesini.
Okay, Vanda Scottesini.
Lacrallo. First of all, I would like, as a Brazilian, I would like to thank so many good words about Net Mundial, and thank you for all that have been there. So, but what I see that is a very good issue related to Net Mundial is the capacity to demonstrate to the world that the multi-stakeholder model can be used and works, because there is a lot of suspicions about and discussions about that is impossible, we'll never go to the end with timely results, those kind of discussion, and Net Mundial could at least show that it can work, can come out with relevant results in a timely manner. So I do believe that it's a very good result that we can spread the word about that, because it's important to make sure that the multi-stakeholder, works. Thank you. That's my 2 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wanda.
Habla Olivier. Gracias, Wanda, por estas palabras de cierre. Llegamos al final de esta sesión. Quería decir una cosa más. Vi mucho apoyo para los debates de Net Mundial. Quisiera saber qué temperatura tenemos en esta sala. ¿Cuál es la temperatura en esta sala? Y no es una votación. No está funcionando.
It's working now. Okay, interpretation is back on. So, let's start again. I wanted to get an idea of the temperature of the room with regards to this community here supporting the findings of Net Mundial, or at least showing support for the Net Mundial final document that was published and that is freely available on the web. And I think we have a link in there. Is anyone, I would hope that there'd be less people against it than people for it, so I'm going to ask if there's anyone who would like to put their hand up if they're not happy with supporting the Net Mundial document, for this community to support the Net Mundial document. There's 1, 2, 3... Okay, hand up or hand down? Because I've seen hand up and a no, don't put it. Okay, so there's a couple of people in the room, anyone who would like to support it, who would think that we should support this document, could you put your... A hum. Okay, a hum. Let's do a hum then. This is one of these weird things. So the hums are the IETF ways of it's not really even voting. It's just sort of gauging the temperature of the room. Humming is just going and so the louder the hum is, the more likely it is that there are more people humming. So let's. We've never had something like that before here at ICANN. I think one of the groups has done that once. Let's have a hum for those people in favor of. I don't even know whether we've got that in our bylaws, the humming technique. Alan would probably be able to help us, but he's with the GNSO, and certainly they're not humming over there. Let's have a hum for those people in favor of putting together a resolution or a motion to support the Net Mundial document. People in favor? This is embarrassing. Of course, afterwards, we need hums from people remotely as well. I will also ask for you to stand like this in a lotus position and hum afterwards. But okay, maybe not. And those people who would like to go against this, could they hum now, please? Okay, so I heard more hums than just 2 or 3 hands, so that's good. The humming thing, it works well. Evan wants to put... Oh, lots of people want to put their hands up. Okay, so the idea is that we're going to get someone to draft a motion, a working group. Yeah, we can support a working group to draft a motion to prepare a working group to have a first report on the issue, and about 5 years from now we might get an answer. Let's get back to this. What I propose is that we have someone who will draft a motion for the later on in the week when we pass all of our votes and all of this. And I see not Tijani. Evan, you wish to say something? And we don't have the mics. I don't know where they've gone. Just shout it out.
Okay. Sorry. This is Evan, for the record, which goes in the cloud or whatever. Most of the people I'd spoken to that had a problem with the Net Mondial document was that it didn't go far enough, that they agreed with it as a core principle, but believed that it stopped short in a number of areas, on intellectual property issues and things like that, that it stopped short, for instance, of the full things, I think, that were there to protect end users. So at least... I would support it, but my comment would be it's a good start as opposed to the end. The other thing I wanted to mention in terms of where to go with it from there, I'm involved with the thematic group number one, the future of multi-stakeholderism. This is no doubt going to be a part of that discussion going forward. So in terms of where this is going, there is going to be an ongoing discussion. I just wanted to make a point in saying, rather than do you agree with Net Mondial or don't you, I think there's a sentiment that's saying, yes, but it's not sufficient.
Okay, thank you, Evan. Nigel Hickson, and then we really are running out of time. So, Nigel?
Yes, I'll be exceptionally brief because I've got to go to another session as well, and excuse me if I keep running out. Just 2 points on Net Mondial. One, clearly it didn't satisfy everyone. I mean, that's an element, or that's a consequence of the multi-stakeholder approach. If you were going to get rough consensus on that document, which we negotiated up till 2 o'clock in the morning on that first night, it was clear that it wasn't going to be what everyone wanted. So there were compromises, but that doesn't mean to say that it can't evolve in the future, as has just been mentioned. The second point, what was said earlier about this fantastic facility of the remote hubs in Net Mondial is being taken up by ICANN for the Thursday session. So for the Thursday public session, we are going to have remote hubs this week. I don't know how many remote hubs, whether they'll work exactly the same as Net Mondial. But I agree with the speaker, I've forgotten who it was. I mean, it just moved me completely to see, you know, a young student in a T-shirt and jeans, and these are users sitting in an office in San Francisco or Taiwan, wherever he was sitting, having a conversation with Larry Strickling on the floor of the, you know, it was just amazing. And that's something that we learn from the future. And that was it.
Thank you very much, Nigel. Tijani, then we have to close.
Yes. Just one word. Those the two or three people who are absolutely unsatisfied with the Net Mondial output, if we can know why they are, it will be a good thing. So I propose that they write the reasons they are not satisfied, either on the mailing list or through the chat, Skype chat. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Tijani. And I've also learned that Evan Leibovich has agreed to be the pen holder. Well done, Evan. You've managed to make yourself busy already, and we're just starting. So Evan will hold the pen on drafting a statement that will both support the Net Mondial outcome, but also, I think, take into account the concerns that we've heard here about not going far enough. I've heard a lot of claps around the room and applause for that, and that seems to be the general consensus. I'm not saying we have full consensus, but there's a general consensus in this. And with all this, I thank you all for having stayed this whole session here. I hope it was helpful for all of you. We have an announcement with regards to the mentors and the mentees. They will be escorted to the... Well, that's the word I've been told, escorted. They will be helped gently towards the, is it, what's the other room? The Windsor room, which is at the other end of the hotel, by Gisela, who will very graciously bring them to that place, and that will be, you know, they'll be able to discuss the Olivier, mentorship program. Thanks to all of you.
Olivier.
This summit is Olivier. Only something that is able for you. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, just a quick question. Fatima is going to now lead the next session in Windsor. I will be going. Fatima's over there with the blue folder. You can start following her if she knows the way. I'm going to follow. Does everyone know if they're a mentor or a mentee and if they're supposed to be attending this meeting? I hope you do. If you don't, please look it up here on the screen. Thank you.
Okay, and finally, this afternoon we have the thematic sessions that are going to start their work. If you don't know what thematic session working group you are in, please come to the front right now and check with staff, and then they'll be able to tell you. Have a wonderful lunch, have a wonderful afternoon, and see you tomorrow. Take care, or see you later on, of course, this afternoon in the different working groups. But see you tomorrow for the plenary in the afternoon, after all this work.
Thematic sessions start from at 3 o'clock. Please make sure you know which meeting room you need to be at, and more importantly, which thematic